Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
There are 584 patients on trolleys around the country, according to the INMO's trolley count as of today. That's up almost 100 on Tuesday's figure. Last week, the union urged the HSE to take specific steps ahead of the bank holiday weekend to alleviate pressure this week and avoid overcrowding. To get a clearer picture of what it's like within the health service at the moment, I'm joined on the line by Phil Nier, General Secretary of the INMO. Very good morning to you, Phil. Can you break down that figure a little bit for us, please, region by region?
Well, again, unsurprisingly, I think the bigger numbers are in Limerick and also University Hospital Galway are very high, and Cork University Hospital. So where we have big populations, we have a lot of overcrowding. And thus far in April, we've had over 4,000 people, 4,010 on trolleys, admitted, sick enough to be in hospital, but no beds available for them. And that includes children. We're seeing an increasing number of children as well on trolleys. So all in all, the picture is not improving. The picture is getting worse. Today we have 584 people, as you just said, and yesterday we had 593. So there's very little discharge. There's very little movement. And
it certainly doesn't look like people are responding to HSE Chief Bernard Gloster's call for people to stay away from EDs unless absolutely necessary.
Well, I think the numbers we count, and it's important to emphasise this, are people who are sick enough to be admitted. So there may not be an alternative space for them. The attendance we don't count are those who attend and are sitting for hours and hours, and sometimes up to 24 hours to be seen. So that's another statistic entirely, which is a lot worse. But overall, like the numbers on wards now, extra patients on wards in any space that is available is extraordinarily high. It's 129 today. That's really poor care. Nurses tell us on a daily basis that, you know, they're staffed for the number of beds on the wards, and sometimes their staffing levels don't even match the bed numbers that they have, and then they have additional beds, which makes delivering safe care really, really dicey and not possible. In one ward yesterday, they were down just over 50% of their staff, slow recruitment processes, problems now with the whole visa situation for our overseas nurses, and we're really dependent on overseas nurses, particularly nurses coming from India and the Philippines.
We'll get on to staffing levels in one moment. I just want to ask you another hospital-specific question about Mercy University Hospital, which there's a huge demand in their emergency department at the moment due to a surge in COVID-19 cases. Are you worried about this?
Of course. COVID hasn't gone away. And just looking at the numbers in ICUs, for example, that the HSE have issued, we still have 19 patients countrywide in ICU with COVID-19, specifically because of COVID-19. So we're really concerned about the announcement last week that the mask mandate, for example, is going to be lifted next week. We've written to the HSE and we've said to them, look, hang on a minute here. You know, if you had a perfect hospital system that had single rooms and everybody was being cared for in isolation, that's fine to make these types of infection prevention and control announcements. But when you have an overcrowded environment with overcrowded wards, overcrowded EDs, this is absolutely the wrong move right now.
And can you explain to me, is the mask mandate being lifted in all sections of the hospital, or are there certain areas with particularly vulnerable patients where it will still apply?
Well, what they've said is the universal use of masks will end on the 19th of April for patients, staff and visitors. But then they go on to say in their statement, patients in multi-bed wards should be offered masks if others are symptomatic. So in other words, they're saying it's up to the patient almost. I mean, no patient in hospital is going to know whether somebody else is symptomatic. That is the responsibility of the healthcare provider in our view. And we don't want nurses put in a position where they're saying to one patient, well, look, that patient over there has a cough, so you should be really wearing a mask. It's absolute nonsensical. We believe that we've always been critical of the information that the HSE have provided in respect of infection control and cross-infection in hospitals. Unfortunately, we know that many people are getting COVID and getting other transmissible conditions in hospital by virtue of just simply being in hospital because of the environment, because of the air, because of the overcrowding. So we believe that they should be much more, preventative and not waiting until we have another outbreak on a ward with requiring beds to close, because simply people aren't making strong enough provision for the environment that we have to work in, which is an overcrowded, dangerous environment.
The overcrowding that we're experiencing this week was, I suppose, predictable, because it always happens after a bank holiday weekend that you get a surge in numbers like this. You met the HSE last weekend to discuss measures alleviating overcrowding. What was their response?
Well, I think, to be fair, we're trying to look at the situation and say, look, until we get more capacity, it's clear we're going to have overcrowding. So where is capacity? Where can we use some? We've suggested to them that they open medical admission units for longer hours, for example, in Nina, in St. John's, in Limerick, to try and alleviate some of the situation in Limerick Regional. It's not going to solve the problem, but it might remove some of the pressure. There's a small number of staff, but it does require, absolutely, it requires recruitment, it requires intense recruitment for those areas. So last weekend, for example, 12 patients were seen between Nina and St. John's because they opened their MAU for weekends. Up to that point, it hadn't been open. We won't know if that will make a big difference in Limerick, but we have to think really outside of the box. We have to look at beds where they are available, the best utilisation of them. We're still very, very disappointed with the level of discharge over the weekends. We think that has to increase. We looked for the stats and the HSE to provide those to us this week. But from our members on the ground, it is fairly static from a discharge point of view over weekends.
Now, of course, the staffing crisis within the health sector interlocks or is inextricably linked with the wider housing crisis. And you made a suggestion to the Minister for Health of Affordable Housing for healthcare workers, which was rejected. Are you letting go of that idea, or are you going to continue to campaign on it?
No, we think some hospitals are doing this themselves now. We're directly engaging with them, and they see that they have to. They just simply have to be competitive and to keep staff in Dublin, in Cork, in Galway. You have to provide accommodation to them. So some hospitals are actually going now and buying properties themselves. We have had a situation, for example, in the National Children's Hospital for years, where they have provided accommodation for staff who travel to work there. And we're saying to the Minister for Housing, we've met with him and his officials, and we've made it very clear, the directors of nursing and the directors of midwifery were with us when we met him, and they made it very clear it is impossible for them to plan into the future to open all of the beds in the new children's hospital or to continue to provide midwifery services in the National Maternity Hospital, because simply staff can't afford to live in the city on the salaries that nurses earn. So we have a motion passed at our conference last year, for example, looking for additional waiting like we have in London. If you work in a city, a large city where the cost of accommodation is higher, that your salary would be increased. We believe that's one option, and we believe that essential frontline workers must be provided with accommodation close to where they work, because remember, many of them provide on-call services. So, we don't want a situation where we simply can't provide these services if the accommodation isn't available.
Phil Nye of the INMO, thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.